Welcome to Random Talks with Santiago Leon and George Castillo. Episode one, where we talk about random stuff. It could be about life, technology, or relationships. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, Santiago. Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, George, I've known George for about a couple of years. Actually been, it might be since 2012, almost 10 years, actually. Yeah. And George is also testing out podcasting, which is why we're having the show. And George, what got you into podcasting? What makes you so interested? I mean, what makes you different from the masses that are joining into the podcast industry?
Well, I noticed that it's really big right now. In order to get your brand out there via video or audio, and I have all this equipment, you know, camera, lighting, and then now I just got the mic set up. So I just wanted to test it out, see how it goes.
And let me see. And how much did you invest in your podcast equipment? I know you have green screen, camera, mic, and lighting. How much did you invest? And of course, I know that you had some previous equipment, but please explain to the audience who are interested in being in this venture.
Yeah, so you don't have to spend that much money, but I kind of, since I already had some expensive equipment, I kind of wanted to match it. So I do have the DSLR, I have the Nikon D780, and I actually bought a adapter that allows me to use my DSLR as a webcam. So I think Elato sells their adapter for like $120, and then I bought the less expensive version for $20. So I saved some money there.
How much did you save in total? Let's just, or like, how much did you spend in total? Like, a little estimate if you're not shy.
So if I use a webcam, that's like $100. I can go with that. My lights were about $200.
How much was your webcam again?
The one is my regular webcam is $100, but my DSLR is about $2,000.
Okay.
Please continue. You don't need to spend that, but I already had the camera. So
okay. You just had to set it up as a webcam, which is not that difficult, I've heard.
Right. I just needed to buy the adapter, which was $20 compared to the $120 version. That I guess, because I can still see some, I don't know if you can see it, but some latency. Like it's delayed by maybe a second.
Hold on. In one sec. Yeah, now I do. I do see some latency. I think because when you go from camera to your DSLR camera into webcam, there could be latency. Could be some room for error. Webcam is a direct USB input, right. So it's right to it. Which I remember where you had to get like a higher wire to get your camera rolling into your computer well. But now with USB, I think it's become a little bit less of a headache. It's become just plug and play.
Yeah, and from what I read on the reviews is that the Elgato, the $120 version, doesn't give you that much latency. But it's, you know, it's $100 more. So I didn't want to invest that much on that piece until I actually really need it. And I may need it in the future, but for now, the $20 version is just good enough.
And tell us about your blue screen I see behind you.
So this is actually really cheap. I think I purchased this for maybe like $15 and I just tacked it to my wall. And I prefer the blue screen versus the green. It's just my preference. I think the green, it's a little bit better because it's more unique. Like sometimes if I wear blue or black, the camera or the software doesn't detect it as well as if it were a green screen. But I prefer the blue because it's, I don't know. I think the green is just too vibrant, and I have it in my room the whole time, so I just didn't want to have the green screen all the time.
Did you ever check out the green screen that wraps around that hooks onto your office chair?
I was thinking about it, but it was more expensive, and I think you would get like these corners here. Where is it? I think it would not fill these corners. So,
yeah, you have to be like very close to the camera.
Yeah, and So I didn't want to risk it. I was going to purchase it, and then if it didn't work, I was going to return it. But I just didn't want to go through the hassle, and I just figured I just purchased this. It was like 10, 15 bucks. And this thing is huge. Like, it literally covers the whole wall. So
yeah, and I want to tell the audience, I am using a web camera green screen that hooks onto your chair. It's good if your webcam is only like, you know, 1 or 2 feet away from you. But other than that, if it's not, you know, this is perfect because this is how I record the sports cast or any other podcast. Usually it's just like the webcam right off the bat. So it's pretty unique. It's helpful and things like that. So anyways, so now that you got your pre-production, your equipment, what are you planning to use to record and to do post-production?
So yeah, so that was another, I guess, new thing that I was figuring out. One thing I want to talk about though before is the mic, because
yeah, go ahead with the mic. Yeah, sorry about that. We skipped that one important piece of the equipment list.
Yeah, that was huge. And I think before I have now, I was just using my Mac headphones and mic, and I think it's fine. It's doable. Many people do use that. But I just wanted the podcast sound, and I think that's what these mics, yeah, they accomplish it very well. So I think the most popular brand is the Shure mic, which I think is like $300, $350.
That's the best one that you see a lot in the Joe Rogan podcast or mm-hmm. in other big podcasts out there, correct?
Yeah, and I didn't want to spend that much money, and I think there's Shure sells like $150 version of the mic.
There is a $150 version of the Shure mic?
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller. It's like shorter than the Joe Rogan mic.
What have you heard? Is the audio quality good enough or is it still lax?
I don't think, like, as an audio professional, you would probably be able to tell, but I don't even think you can tell like on a live or on a Zoom. You know, so in my opinion, I think this was the best bet. I think it was $70. It's the Samson Q2U, and it has the both ports, the XLR and the USB.
Which I did not know they made mics, Samsung. But what don't they make?
But it's not the usual Sam. I think it's like Samson, you know, from the Bible. It's spelled like
Samson. Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah, and then I read a bunch of reviews on it. Actually, you can see the name here, but I don't know if you can see
it. I cannot. I can see like the ending part, but not clear enough.
But apparently, this was equivalent to the Rode N1 mic.
Trivia, where is Rode from?
Australia.
Correct.
Yeah, man, I didn't know that either. But I did get this mic, and I have the XLR cable, and I paired it with the Rode AL1, which is the, I don't know what you would call it, mixer? I don't know what you would call it. I still am not too familiar with all these things.
But it's a mixer, pretty much, yeah.
You need to, the preamp, you need to connect that to your mic, apparently. So I just found that out, and I bought it. It was about $100, so that was a little bit pricey, but you need it if you're going to use the XLR.
Interesting. Wow. So you got the mic, got the lighting, any you had to grab?
Some soundproofing. So I did get the IKEA. There's like these things you put on your desk, and that helps with the soundproofing. And I'm still missing another one. I have the two monitors that I have the stand for. I think that just helped give me more real estate in my desk, because it was just a mess before. And you have cables and stuff, so you just want to kind of organize your cables and your desk as much as you can. So I did that, but I think that's basically it. Yeah,
the quality sounds pretty good for your mic. Is it the mic or is it the soundproofing?
I don't know. I think it's the mic, and I got it plugged into the preamp. Because the preamp lowers before, and I haven't done a side-by-side testing, but when I just plugged it in via USB, I would get a lot of background noise. And I don't know if you would be able to hear it, but I could hear it. And now, since it's plugged into the preamp, I don't hear it as much.
Yeah, preamp, I think, which is what it does. I think it really takes away the surround sound or the, mm-hmm. The static sound noise. Or the white noise.
Mm-hmm.
They call it. So, which, you know, if no one knows this, I have a background in audio. I went to college and I worked in a college radio station. And I learned a lot about audio in that time when I was there, and also editing audio as well, and the levels and everything else. And it's and I still do believe to this day that audio is way more important than the video, than the lighting, and anything else. If you have good audio, you're able to communicate to your audience.
Yeah, definitely, and especially in podcasts or anything. Yeah, people more attentive to what you're saying. Not really, you know, your face as much.
Exactly. So tell us, what do you do currently, and how are you going to use podcasts with your current current day job?
Yeah, so I am a realtor, and I do photography part-time, but I do real estate full-time. And video has been like the staple of marketing for most entrepreneurs nowadays. And I wanted to deliver, I guess, more premium content. So basically, there's a bunch of emails and texts that we send out to our leads and our clients. And I wanted to attach some videos along with our messaging or our communication. So that was the idea behind it. I didn't really need all this expensive equipment to get that done, but I just preferred it.
Out of curiosity, how many people in your office team are podcasted?
That is a good question. If anything, I know one member of the team has a bunch of videos on his website, and I think that's where more or less I wanted to duplicate. I don't know if he does podcasting per se, but I know he has tons of content on YouTube. So that's more or less what I kind of want to do. I don't know how into podcasting I'm going to go into, but I definitely want to have a lot of content on my YouTube channel.
There you have it. Anything else you want to share on, you know, involving podcasting with your industry?
It's very competitive. It's very competitive. And I think that even though it's difficult to create a podcast or YouTube channels, it's definitely worth it, especially, you know, people want to get to know you. And this is, I guess, the best way people can get to know you without actually meeting you in person. If they see your face and hear your voice constantly, either on YouTube or other places, I think it's very helpful for you to create a connection with new leads and your current clients.
One thing that I recommend and that I've been doing in the podcast world is you record the video and then you record the video podcast and then you repurpose it. Obviously, one of the repurposing is upload that video, rip the audio, and upload to a podcast. But also with that content, you can create articles and you can create short videos for Instagram or TikTok. They could be up to a minute long or a little bit longer, depends. And you just repurpose it. I think Instagram is one of the most where you get like the most attention, and also Facebook as well, where people just watch your videos. And of course, I like what I do is I also add captions to the short video, and you just get clips like the best clips you got from your video. It could be, you know, you talking, doing a monologue, or you could just get a clip from your guest that is there and has some, you know, very interesting stuff that he's saying, and you do it as a clip. It takes a lot of work, but it works.
Right.
So that's something. And for post editing, what are your plans for that? Are you thinking about, because we talked about this offline, you know, maybe getting like a, I don't know, Cut Pro or getting Adobe Premiere Pro. But what is your strategy when it comes to post production?
So I've used both Premiere and Final Cut. And as much as I like the Adobe suite, I don't know. I've never liked Premiere. As much as I like Photoshop and Lightroom from Adobe, I never liked Premiere. I just felt like it was very complicated.
It could get technical. You're right.
Yeah, it's very technical.
Unless you're in Windows. I think that might be the best one for Windows if you have a Windows device.
Right. That's true. So and then, I tried Final Cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
And then Final Cut, I started with iMovie, and iMovie is very good, especially if you're a beginner.
But it's limited.
I don't know.
Once you get
it's extremely limited.
But once you get into Final Cut Pro.
Yeah, I think I had a tough time understanding the timeline and how basically videos work or video editing work. And I think iMovie helped me understand it. And then once I used iMovie and understood that, then I moved over to Final Cut. And now I love Final Cut because it still keeps it simple, but it's still robust. Like, you can still do, you know, what you need to do, like more advanced things.
And with Final Cut Pro, they've made it easier. It kind of resembles a bit iMovie. But I've been using Final Cut Pro for the past, oh my gosh, let's say 10 years, maybe less than that. But I like it. It works well with the Mac ecosystem. But I've heard not too many movie studios use it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure that's the case.
But I recommend Final Cut Pro. Obviously, I've been using it, and I do agree with George on the Adobe Premiere Pro, which I have a subscription for. That is a little bit complex, and the rendering on Apple's Final Cut Pro is a little bit faster. It renders behind the scenes faster, and versus Premiere Pro, I believe you have to wait till it renders until you see a preview of it or something, which they might have changed that by now. I don't know, because usually people will just copy each other and make the software similar or competitive. Pretty exciting, George, and I'm glad you're pretty much all there, but you still have to purchase editing software.
Well, I do have Final Cut Pro. I was reluctant to kind of use it as much because but that's the easiest one to use. So I did get a little course from Udemy, an hour course that kind of goes through like all the buttons and all the menus. So I did that one actually last night, and that was pretty helpful. And I think I'm going to purchase the more advanced one, which is 5 hours, but it really dives deeper into the functionality of Final Cut. So yeah, I'm going to stick to Final Cut.
Udemy, tell us about that and why won't you use YouTube? That's free.
I think YouTube there's too much content. So you can go from one video to 100 videos very quickly, and it gets overwhelming. So I think the Udemy is super cheap. It's like, I think the course was $10.
And you one time.
One, yeah. Well, it's about $10 to $20 per course in Udemy. And I think the course was $12.99 that I bought, and it was just one instructor, and it was laid out in a course format. It wasn't just like a video of someone talking and sharing or anything like that. It was just very structured, I would say, and that's kind of what I was looking for, like a structured format where I can learn Final Cut.
Which some people learn better, you know, doing that. You could do, you know, free flowing on YouTube, or if you want to have more of a structured course, Udemy is good. Now, do you get quizzes with that? Is that part of it or not really?
There was like a little quiz. I don't know if it's mandatory or not, but it did ask you like 5 or 10 questions to move to the next chapter. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's not mandatory. It's not like you're going to get a certificate or anything.
They give you a little Udemy certificate. I don't know. I mean, at least it. I don't know if it matters to people, but it's pretty cool.
You place
cool,
it in your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when it comes to social media, what strategy are you going to use? Are you going to post in all platforms, or are you going to focus on LinkedIn or YouTube? What is your strategy going to be there?
I want to focus on YouTube. So Google and YouTube, the Google My Business, which I think now they're changing it to Google Search. They're eliminating the Google My Business.
Are they? And, that's news to me.
And now it's like when you just log into the map, you can edit just directly from there. You don't have to log into your Google My Business account. So I just want to focus on that and YouTube. So and basically because those are the searchable ones where you can be found the most, I think.
Yeah, correct. It's funny because do you ever search on Instagram? Do you ever search for a specific hashtag? Because I sometimes do it, but I don't do it all the time.
No, I think for me personally, it's just kind of when you're bored or you just scroll through things. But when I actually want to make a purchase, I'll go directly to Google and search.
So. Yeah, and I always tell this to my clients, which I operate SleonProductions.com, which we're a web development company, also doing some marketing as well. But when it comes to search, I would put more emphasis on Google. Obviously, really depends on your industry, but I think Google is very powerful. People Google all, like everything to everything, which is probably half of the stuff that George got was on Google or YouTube. But yeah. For sure put an emphasis on that because, you know, it's just more accessible. On Instagram, you kind of like, you don't really search for much things. I mean, I don't see people searching hashtag food porn or something like that or hashtag pizza. It's not something that's innate, you know, and you know, Instagram is more of a hashtag driven platform. Twitter, you can actually search for terms, keywords, but it's not as common as Google, you know? So that's something that you got to consider. But yeah, George has figured it out, putting a podcast together. I'm guessing under $200 minus the lights.
Maybe 300.
300. What would you tell people out there that are thinking about getting into to starting a podcast?
Like you mentioned earlier, the audio is the most important thing. And you don't have to spend that much money on the camera at all. Like I have monitors and other things, but you don't really need all that stuff. I think this arm, for example, you can't really see it, but the arm that holds the mic, there's $200 arms, and this one is just 10 bucks. So you can definitely save a lot of money on certain things. You know, if you just buy the China version and you just get a mic, you don't even need the preamp. You know, you can connect it directly with the USB cable and you're good to go. So I think you can complicate it, but you can also make it very simple.
So. Like buying a Blue Yeti. now, there's one fad people have been using, not every podcaster, but is live streaming, where you're streaming and recording at the same time, and you can stream to YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch if you want to go that route. George, are you considering streaming, or you're more into like, let me just do it, record, and I'll edit the mistakes afterwards?
Well, this is actually my first streaming experience, and it wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty fun. But for now, I'm just going to focus on creating the content for YouTube, like not live. So we'll see how that goes as I get more experience and get more, used to being on camera. That's something that I don't know if you've ever had issues with, but for some reason, I get a little bit nervous. So that's something that...
Are you camera shy?
I guess that's what you would call it. But
it's the right terminology.
Yeah, I think most people, they don't get into YouTubing or streaming or blogging because of that. And it's just something I guess you got to get over as the more you do it, you know, it just goes away.
There is another avenue you can use while streaming but not showing your face is voiceovers, where you just place a graphic and you just talk over it. And the software, if anyone's interested, I'm using Restream.io, which you can check the links below. It is probably one of the top streaming platforms out there on the internet. Is it affordable? Not really. I pay about, I think, $200-$300 a year. And you're able to stream to multiple platforms, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, places like that, and they're able to record it. Now, I'm currently using Restream Studio, meaning that I'm not using a external software. I'm streaming straight from my browser, which I use Mozilla Firefox. And I started using Studio actually not too long ago, but a couple months ago. One of my people from Sportscast used it because he's a streamer. He streams and everything. And I like Studio. I used to use Ecamm, which is a platform to stream, but it really slowed down my computer. My RAM, I had to close out almost every application but Ecamm. And then I would use Skype to get the audience person there. But with Restream, you're able to invite guests into the studio and stream. One caveat, which I've noticed that is not here, is to record only, which I bet George would, you know, would purchase Restream right away if they had a record button only, right?
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
But I talked about this with George offline that if you want to record, if it's just a solo, use QuickTime. That's one of my favorites. And you could record with a blue screen, green screen, but you have to, you can only put the background when you do the post editing, Final Cut Pro or Adobe Premiere. Something into consideration. But when you stream on live stream on Restream, you don't have to, like, you could settle your own green screen behind you, put the background, and you have the options for videos, static images, and things like that. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty good package. But Restream should add a record only, and I think that would make it maybe they'll get more sales if they did that. I don't know. So anyways, George, any more questions on your podcast experience for me or any closing words?
One thing I think I forgot to mention, which I just I really, really like, are these in-ear monitors.
Oh, my headset?
Yeah, like I had something like what you had. I had the Sennheiser one that you see in the podcast. I think it's like 150. But I didn't like how it weighed my neck down for whatever reason. Maybe it's just personal preference. So I looked in for other alternatives, and the ones I have now, I don't know if you can see them.
Yeah, I like that. It feels like you're a guitar player.
Yeah, they give you the same audio quality as the ones you're wearing, except they're, you know, they go inside your ear. So,
yeah, well, that's a good thing to consider. I like the reason why that I'm wearing this is because I like to hear the monitor, like to hear my voice. And
yeah.
And I used to use this functionality back in the radio station, you know, for you to, you know, obviously to listen to the guests, but also to listen to yourself, how you sound. And also you're able to speak clearly, actually, when you listen to your own audio. And the Blue Yeti, they have that feature where they will monitor your audio into your headphones. Is that the same thing for your mic?
Yeah, it has like, I guess, I don't know what you would call it. Like the bass is separate from the highs. Like when you have a normal in-ear mm-hmm. earphone, it's just one speaker and that produces all the music.
Oh, so now both of your headset would, like both phones doesn't hear it. Like it's one or the other.
Right. And so the sound is not good, even on the expensive ones. But this one, they're specific in-ear monitor headphones. So the sound is separate, like the bass and the highs are separate. And then you can get even the more expensive ones, which they have five different sounds. So they have like five little tiny, I guess, speakers or whatever you want to call it, inside. So they separate the sound like almost five times. So you get like really good quality. Like it just sounds amazing. That's one thing I'm in love with. And it was only $20. And I think
I was going to ask you, how much was it? $20? Not bad.
Yeah. ZST, I think it's called the ZST.
I got to check it out. Cause I know these things are a little bit bulky. And it could be quite annoying. I mean, I like it cause it makes it sound, cause it makes you look like you're a professional DJ or professional audio podcaster, I guess. But that was a good one, just to have less is more type of thing, you know?
Yeah, and you can't really share these because they're more for your use only. And like, if you can share the ones you have with other
people. But you don't have to go to that doctor and get the mold inside your earlobe, right? None of that. Okay. Making sure. Yeah. Because I see a lot of musicians doing that, obviously, a little bit more more technique there. So, but yeah, there you go. This is a podcast interview with George Castillo. Of course, this is more of like a how-to. He got started with getting his podcast started, getting the equipment together. Not bad. It's a lot way easier to start a podcast show now than ever, now with Amazon. How much of your stuff was bought on Amazon? 100%?
Yeah, we'll see. 100%.
Yeah, so really accessible. When I started, I spent a lot. Well, not a lot. I think I spent about maybe like $300. I got a mixer. I got a webcam. And I got my ring light. And where George does not use a ring light, he uses his own lights from photography. And then, of course, having a Mac. I don't know how much you can do with Windows. I mean, I have not heard anyone... well, I've heard one guy that does all the magic in Windows, but it's just with Windows is very limited, I would say.
Yeah, and also now with the Mac coming out with the M1 chips,
should be faster,
way faster.
Cool deal. Well, anyways, George, what is the best way to reach you online if people want to buy a house in South Florida or anywhere in Florida, and also ask you about your experience in podcasting?
Yeah, you can definitely give me a call if you have any real estate questions, 954-280-8280. You can look me up on my website, spelled with Jorge Castillo, realty.com. And yeah, so this is just the beginning for me, so we'll see how I progresses moving forward. But yeah.
And what is your Twitter or Instagram handles?
Instagram, same thing, Jorge Castillo Realty. Or
all one word, no dots.
Nope, all one word.
Awesome. And so when and my final question is, when will you launch your first episode?
Podcast episode. Oh, man, it might take me a while, but my first video should be coming out like next week. And it's more for my website. So I don't know. And more for directed towards clients that are in my database. So I don't know if there's any going to be any public content for at least a few more weeks.
The old database. Pretty cool. Pretty interesting. Young entrepreneur, being a realtor in Florida. Also, they could ask you, is it possible to still become a successful realtor in Florida?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to definitely enjoy it. It's very competitive, and it does take time to build your sphere. It takes time to really create consistent income. So you really have to think about it as a long-term career for sure.
Time is money. And you can reach me at Sleon, S-L-E-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Also, my website, sleonproductions.com. And all the information is there. We're always posting out how-tos, how to do a podcast, what equipment to use. I probably get asked, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me yesterday or like recently, how often do you get asked? I think I asked like once or twice a month on how to start a podcast. So it's a pretty popular topic. But anyways, George, any closing words before we head off on this beautiful sunset in Florida?
No, that's about it, man. Thanks for having me. I have to take this call, but yeah, I appreciate all your help with the podcast, and thanks for having me here.
There you go. Cheers.